This webcast is made possible in part by support from the listener members of the Classical Network, WWFM and WWFM.org. Thank you for your support.
Welcome to Inside Music. I'm your host, George Mariner Mall, Artistic Director of the Discovery Orchestra, where we believe the more musical detail we notice, the more pleasure we receive from listening. Inside Music is made possible by Glenn Mead, an independent trust company providing investment and wealth management services with offices in Princeton, Morristown, and Philadelphia. Welcome to this evening's episode. 3, 2, 1, blast off. That was the devastatingly beautiful transition to the finale of the Symphony No. 3 by Camille Saint-Saëns. And if you're wondering where the blast-off occurs, we need only wait a second or so of silence. Saint-Saëns writes simply, avec orgue, with organ, on the title page of this monumental score that would become known as the Organ Symphony for obvious reasons. If we had any doubts concerning this, the opening of the finale would certainly dispel them. Saint-Saëns' decision to include the organ as one of the orchestral instruments in his Third Symphony, written in 1886, was not without earlier precedent. French composer Charles-Marie Vidor had arranged several movements of a work he'd written for solo organ, for organ and symphony orchestra in 1882, but when the words The Organ Symphony appear, it's inevitably a reference to Saint-Saëns' 1886 score. The structure of this symphony is a bit unusual. It has only two movements, but even Saint-Saëns owned up to the fact that each of those two movements contains two movements within it. Saint-Saëns also wrote themes that appear throughout the symphony, and while we could look back and chronicle his use of each of these themes from the first movement forward, I'd like us to notice and enjoy what a fluent and elaborative mind Saint-Saëns had, just beginning with that transition to the finale. Listen to the opening notes of that transition. That gentle violin version gets transformed into this. Listen to it in the orchestra as the finale commences. Thank you. In addition to utterly changing the character, the key, the dynamic level, the tempo and orchestration of that idea, you may have noticed that he employs the overlapping imitation technique we call stretto. Listen again to the contrast side by side. Transition version. Opening of the finale version. After that bombastic opening, we encounter another theme also found in the transition to the finale. Here in the transition, it is played very softly by the cellos and contrabasses. Now, listen to it in the finale. Be thinking about how Saint-Saëns altered the version found in the transition. It's been stretched out. The rhythm has been altered. Instead of da-da-da, 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 we now have da-da-da, da-da-da, da-da-da. And the whole idea has been greatly expanded. It was unusual to include the organ as just one of the instruments in the orchestra, but Saint-Saëns broke with another precedent by utilizing another instrument as just one in the orchestra in this passage. Listen and see if you can tell what that might be. Did you come up with the piano? There are actually two pianists playing something like this. Listen once more to just the first phrase, focusing on the rather celestial sounding piano part. Before the movement really gets going, Saint-Saëns reorchestrates this theme for the entire ensemble. Each musical phrase of this theme is comprised of 15 beats, one measure of 9/4 time, followed by one measure of 6/4 time. This is unusual, since thousands upon thousands of musical phrases contain an even 16 beats in four measures of 4/4 time, but not this one. And this theme starts on the second beat, the first beat being a rest or silence. Listen to me play two of these 15-beat phrases again on the piano. What I'd like to ask you to do as a listening assignment is this. Count the total number of 15-beat phrases and determine on which beat the cymbal crash occurs each time in this full orchestra version. Fasten your seatbelts. How many 15-beat phrases did you find? 4, we hope. And on which beat was there a cymbal crash each time? 1 beat 10. Listen once more and count aloud with the music. Remember, the first note of the theme occurs on beat 2. The formal scheme Saint-Saëns uses for the finale of his Third Symphony is an adaptation of sonata form. For a more detailed look at the sonata form recipe for writing a movement of music, please go to the WWFM archive of this series, Inside Music, and scroll to the second pilot episode, The Problem with Program Notes, where I go into much more detail. However, all sonata form constructions have a principal or first theme, and a contrasting second theme. For his first theme, in what we call the exposition, Saint-Saëns writes this. This is yet another creative variant of yes, it's the theme we encountered first in the transition to the finale and then in the finale. But here, he writes a new version of it as the subject or main melody of a short fugato, which in brief works like a round. Count the number of entrances of the fugato subject up to and including the trumpet entrance. Did you find 5 entrances? It starts with violas and cellos playing it together, gets handed off to the second violins, who give it to the first violins, and then to the contrabasses, who finally hand it off to the trumpets. Listen again for these 5 entrances. As I mentioned, like all sonata form constructions, there is a second contrasting theme, and Saint-Saëns gives us a delicious one. So much more delicious the way he orchestrated it. In case you're just joining us, I'm George Mariner Moll, Artistic Director of the Discovery Orchestra, and your host for Inside Music. We're observing the incredibly fluent and elaborative talent of Camille Saint-Saëns. And what better way to do that than to examine how many different ways he could reimagine the same material. Before we listen to the entire finale of his Third Symphony straight through, let's review his process. This theme, first encountered in the transition to the finale. Then appears in this version in the finale. Later, it will appear as an augmented, drawn-out version of itself. Here's the orchestra. Can you name which instruments play this theme here? Yes, it's the trombones and tuba that play it before passing it to the trumpets and French horns. A powerful new version of what we earlier encountered as... Let's return to the other theme found in the transition to the finale. That was reimagined as this. Then, as this. And subsequently, as this fugato version that begins the exposition. It will then be changed into an abbreviated two-step ascending sequence in Saint-Saëns' development section. And when Saint-Saëns recapitulates, rather than give us a repeat of the exposition's fugato treatment of his first theme, he gives us yet another version. So much more exciting when played by the full orchestra. After Saint-Saëns once more gives us his second theme, as we would expect in a sonata form recapitulation, in a departure from the norm, he brings back his development section, leading to a rousing conclusion. In one final rethinking of his first theme, he gives us a question and answer version of it. Count the number of question and answer pairs we have at this moment in the score. Did you find two pair of questions and answers? Good. As we play the entire finale of this recording by the Bamberger Philharmoniker under Christoph Eschenbach with organ soloist Edgar Krapp, listen especially for Saint-Saëns' incredible ability to reimagine the same musical idea in many different ways. And be on the lookout for his subtle combinations of his themes. 3, 2, 1, blast off. Mm-hmm. This has been Inside Music. I'm George Mariner Moll, Artistic Director of the Discovery Orchestra and your host. The producer is David Ozenberg. The Discovery Orchestra's Emmy-nominated educational concerts for American Public Television are available on Amazon.com and may be streamed free of charge by Amazon Prime members. For more information about the Discovery Orchestra, visit our website at discoveryorchestra.org. Inside Music is made possible by Glenn Mead, an independent trust company providing investment and wealth management services, with offices in Princeton, Morristown, and Philadelphia. Inside Music episodes can be heard as webcasts at wwfm.org by selecting About Us and then Our Programs A to Z. Inside Music is an exclusive production of the award-winning Classical Network and wwfm.org. Tune in for our next episode, Pedal Point City. Thanks so much for being with us. This is George Mariner Moll reminding you to listen better.